In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 153 fish, 153 large fish, almost more than the net could hold. In fact, it is a wonder that the net didn't break. 153 fish, perhaps their biggest catch ever, and yet this was the least of a morning's miracles, the smallest wonder of an amazing and life-altering day. This story of the disciples fishing after the resurrection is one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. The story really resonates with me, but I'll get back to that later. Of all the stories of the disciples, I wonder most about this one. I wonder what was going through their heads. After all that they had been through with Jesus, after they had heard the first call, "Follow me," and obeyed it, after learning from Jesus, after watching him work wonders, watching him perplex the powers of the nation and of the empire, after watching him heal and cast out demons, and then following in his steps, themselves healing and casting out demons. And finally, after those most recent of events, the Last Supper, their betrayal of Jesus and his crucifixion and death, the empty tomb and his appearing among them. After all of these things, where do we find the disciples? We find them in a boat fishing. They had just experienced the most significant event in the history of the universe. And they're fishing? Seems kind of strange to me. Now, I'm not a fisherman myself, but I do know that fishing is relaxing. I'm sure there's some of you that can speak to that. And it certainly offers a break from the routines of life. And perhaps that is all the disciples needed that morning. After everything that they had been through, all the stress, the confusion, all the loss that they had experienced, all of it must have been incredibly taxing. Not to mention the perplexing event that they still obviously didn't grasp the reality of, the resurrection. Did the disciples just need a bit of time to get out on the lake with their nets? Perhaps Peter was just looking forward to a little catch to take home and share with his wife as he tried to make sense of everything. The disciples had a lot to make sense of. They had a lot to figure out. What was next? What was next? Is that why they were out there? Did they think that fishing was next? I mean, after everything that they had been through, after all that time with Jesus, after this most important of events, did they think that they were going to go back to fishing? Many of the disciples were fishermen before Jesus called them. Did they forget that he told them that they would be fishers of men? They had not yet had a personal experience of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. At least that's my theory. The reality of Jesus' resurrection hadn't melted their stony hearts. I mean, they had seen him. This was the third time he had appeared to them. They had certainly heard about the stories of others who had seen him. Yet here they were this morning. They were fishing. It was business as usual, acting as if their lives were going to be the same as they were before they met Jesus. I wonder, did they really think that they were going to go back to fishing? I certainly hope they didn't, because it was a really bad night for fishing. They didn't catch anything that night. But just after daybreak, something amazing happens. A man on the beach tells them to cast out their net on the other side of the boat. At that point, what did it matter? The situation couldn't possibly get worse. And suddenly, their net is full of fish, and they know. That man on the beach had to be the Lord. Peter's so excited, he jumps right into the water. He can't wait. And the rest come to shore, and they pull in 153 fish. But at that point, what do all those fish matter? Jesus is there, and it looks like He has a meal there waiting for them. Let me take a brief aside and remind everybody that Jesus was with them physically. He ate bread and he ate fish with them. He had a body like he always has had, a body like ours, yet different, but certainly moving with flesh and moving with blood. But it was somehow different after the resurrection. They could recognize him, but they couldn't recognize him. And that resurrection body was something St. Paul couldn't even explain. But the point of this story is that Jesus wasn't a mere spirit. His incarnation was still a reality even after his death. And the point also is that the disciples personally experienced Jesus Christ risen from the dead. It really happened. The disciples didn't experience a metaphor, they didn't experience reincarnation or any other such nonsense. This event, this resurrection of the dead, of Jesus from the dead, is a defining moment of their lives and of our religion. It changes everything. I said earlier that the story of the disciples fishing kind of resonates with me. Early on in my life, I had a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus, and it changed my life. And it took me a long time to get from that point to seminary. But I finally stopped ignoring Jesus, follow me. And I set down my hammer, for I was a carpenter, and I followed him. And I struggled, and I denied him. And I was away for 3 years, kind of like the disciples. But after all that time, I was all too ready to pick up my hammer and go right back to what I was doing, as if none of it had even happened. I was still kind of surprised, in fact, I'm still kind of surprised, that I got a job in a church, as if my life wasn't going to be turned upside down because of the resurrection. And when I kind of came to that realization that I actually thought I was going to go back into carpentry, it made me think of this story. Of the disciples going back to fishing as if their lives hadn't been touched by Jesus Christ. My friends, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He is risen. That's what we're celebrating. It's so important that we celebrate it for 50 days. Jesus is risen, and he is here, and he has a meal to share with us. And the bread that he has for us this morning is greater than the bread that he had for the disciples on that morning. For the bread that we get this morning is his very body, even the body of God. We need to pray that he would, in the words of the collect, open up the eyes of our faith so that we might behold him in all his redeeming work. Jesus is known to us in the breaking of bread. How can our lives be the same after so many wonders? Jesus first called Peter away from his nets with a simple follow me. Note how today's gospel ends with those same words. Jesus is calling Peter away from his nets for good with that same phrase, follow me. And Peter does follow. His life has been changed for good, and his life changed this world for good. Peter followed Jesus all the way to Rome, which is a long, long way from the Sea of Galilee. Peter followed all the way even to his own cross, knowing that Christ's resurrection guaranteed his own resurrection. And that same resurrection is an assurance of our own resurrection. Our lives are changed by it. There's no more business as usual. And our Lord calls out to each of us, even this morning, follow me. We have everything we need to go. And in the wake of this resurrection, let us pray for some life-altering days. Amen.